Well, a very warm welcome and good morning to all of you. For those who don't know me, my name is Ben and I'm on placement here. I come from the Diocese of Winchester in England, where I'm a curate, a priest in training. But it's really wonderful to be here, and I thank you for welcoming me here so warmly. Let me pray before I begin. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I want us to reflect this morning about what it means to live with hope in times of struggle and uncertainty. I don't think I need to defend the notion that we live in difficult times. As many of you know, our global economy has taken a hit this week with the newly imposed import tariffs by the USA. Our global economy has taken the biggest hit since COVID times. And as I'm sure you know, this will only hit those most in need. And as we know, our social and cultural division between liberals and conservatives, rich and poor, right and left, is as deep as ever. And we, as the church, are caught up in all of these global and local difficulties as we struggle to find our place in our late modern world, struggling with attendance figures in the church, struggling to be faithful in the maelstrom of our age. And that's before we even come to our own personal lives and all that we struggle with in ourselves, in our own contexts at home or at work, with family or with friends. And so what does it mean for us to have hope in difficult times? What does it mean to have hope in Jesus Christ in these days? It's striking that pretty much all of our scripture readings speak of the profound, transformative work of God that brings hope to a dark world. In our Old Testament reading, the Lord God testifies through the prophet Isaiah into the situation of exile of God's people. And he says, I will make a way through the wilderness, and I will make rivers in the desert. I will do something new. Forget the things of old. See, I am doing a new thing. And this picture of the river in the wilderness is such a striking picture. It's echoed and expanded later on in the Bible, in the book of Ezekiel and in Revelation, which speak of the river of life going out from the temple of God into the world, bringing life, bringing healing, turning salt water into fresh water, and on the banks of which grow the trees of life, whose leaves are for the healing of the nations. And then in our New Testament reading, our epistle reading, we find Paul writing in chains, speaking of this new life he has with Christ Jesus. And he declares, whatever gains I had, these I've come to regard these as loss because of Christ. He says, I've lost all things, but I count them as rubbish, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. All else fades for Paul before this Jesus, the light of the world. For this is the one who, as Paul says in another letter, loved me and gave himself for me. Paul's world, his identity, it's turned upside down, inside out, by this Jesus who loves him. And because of this Jesus, he had a new life, a new purpose, a new hope. And finally, in our gospel reading, Our gospel reading is actually set in the midst of the threats to Jesus and Lazarus' life. The verses immediately coming prior to our reading and immediately coming after speak of the threats surrounding Jesus and his disciples. And yet our gospel reading tells us of a meal, a gathering of Jesus and his friends, held in Jesus' honor, following the raising of Lazarus from the dead. In the midst of danger, they chose to celebrate resurrection life. They chose to honor the hope that they had in Jesus. And so we find in our scriptures hope, the hope of the gospel shining forth, ringing out in the midst of struggle and darkness. But this morning, I want us to especially turn our attention to the example of Mary in our gospel reading. We find her in the middle of this gathering, honoring Jesus, celebrating the raising of Lazarus, and we find her at Jesus' feet. And the example that Mary provides for us is that in every season of life, that's where she chose to be. She chose to be at Jesus' feet. Some of you might know the story in Luke chapter 10 when Jesus visits Mary and Martha. And while Martha runs around trying to prepare everything, Mary sits at Jesus' feet, listening to his teaching. And Martha complains, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself?" To which Jesus replies, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things, but few things are needed, indeed only one." And so Jesus holds Mary up as an example for us. And especially in our world of distractions, of 1,000 things to do, 1,000 messages and demands and needs, do we recognize the one thing needed, the voice of the Lord? Do we take time in our coming and going to pause and to sit proverbially at Jesus' feet and to say, "Here I am, Lord. What do you want to say?" It's a small but powerful resistance to the chaos of our world to just take time to listen to the voice that stills the waves, the word that brings healing and hope, the Spirit who gives life. When Mary faces tragedy with the loss of her brother Lazarus in John chapter 11, she goes to Jesus and once again falls at his feet. At his feet, she tells him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." She pours out her pain to him. She weeps before him. And seeing her weeping, Jesus weeps too with Mary for his friend Lazarus, for the cruelty of death in our world. In a world of pain and brokenness and injustice on a global, local, and personal levels, do we give ourselves the chance to grieve at Jesus' feet? Do we give ourselves time to share in Jesus' own sadness at the cruelty of our world, to weep for what has been lost? Because the hope of God in Christ carries with it the space and time to weep, to lament, to feel the suffering of our world, to feel our own pain, knowing that it matters to God, knowing that the Spirit groans with us. And then in our own passage, following the raising of Lazarus from the dead, it is no surprise that we find Mary once again at Jesus' feet. But perhaps we are surprised and even shocked by what she does. For here she pours out half a litre of costly perfume on Jesus' feet, worth 300 denarii, which is a year's wages. For those who work, I mean, how much do you earn in a year? Can you imagine pouring that out on Jesus' feet? I mean, it's quite shocking. She takes surely the most precious thing she owns and pours it all of it out there on Jesus. And in a world of criticism and cynicism and secularism and pragmatism, Mary offers this vivid counterexample of unashamed, extravagant, costly worship. Such worship seems crazy in our world, and maybe even to us. It seems maybe even a bit offensive, precisely given the need and brokenness of our world. You know, why indeed wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? Surely we should be giving as much as possible, giving everything we have to the needs of our worlds if we are to fix things. Well, in truth, as the church, we are called to give everything we have to God's kingdom, but not in the pragmatic terms of our age. We are called to give ourselves fully to the living God in worship to him, the worship that marks the new age that has dawned in Christ, in whom God has given us a living and steadfast hope. As Paul writes, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. This worship is about bringing ourselves, offering ourselves wholly to the one who alone has and will bring salvation and healing to our sorry world. And such worship does in fact provide the key for us to begin resisting the destructive patterns of our world, the idols of our age, and to begin to see the world with new eyes, with God's eyes, and to discern what is the right way. For as Paul goes on to say, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So as we later gather around the Lord's table and receive from him the bread of life and the cup of salvation, let us take this time, as Mary did, to come to the Lord's feet with a listening ear, with a broken heart, and with our own offering of worship and thanks to the Lord, with ourselves. And as you do so, hear this promise of hope from the Lord God. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. Amen.